Produced at CFIS FM in Prince George, Tune Up with Deb is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Once again, here's your host, Deb Ross.
So I have seasoned financial planner Kevin Plouffe with me today, and we are talking all things retirement money, it looks like. So just before the break, we were talking about the differences and the similarities between RRSPs, Registered Retirement Savings Plan, and TFSAs, Tax-Free Savings Plan. So just before the break, I wanted to bring some clarity to the point that when we're putting money aside during our working years and we have these options, we have these tax shelters, if you will, that we can put money aside, the RRSP and the Tax-Free Savings Account, that the tax treatment is completely different on those two types of accounts when we are retired. But of course, we still have expenses to cover, so putting money aside into these savings vehicles makes so much sense. But we do need to understand the pros and the cons of each of these different types, even beyond the RRSP and the TFSA. We need to understand what the effects are going to be for our pensions and what the effects are going to be even for future tax policy even, because there have been changes to tax policy for these various instruments. So Kevin, thanks again for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure.
So just before the break, we were talking about the RRSP and the tax-free savings account. Now, you had mentioned there was something that you had wanted to get into a little more detail. It had something to do with either the OAS or the GI, the Guaranteed Income Supplement. What was that that you were going to bring some clarity to?
So on top of the Canada Pension Plan and the Old Age Security, there's another pension attached to the Old Age Security, and I believe you have to qualify for the Old Age Security pension to get it. It's called the Guaranteed Income Supplement. It's specifically designed for low-income people or low-income families. Usually by that time, it's a couple. Typically, children are gone by that point. And the thing that shocked me about it years ago is I had a client come in and say she was a single lady, I don't think she had any pensions other than the CPP and Old Age Security. She hadn't had super high income over the years, so her CPP was, you know, moderate. But she had a bunch of RSPs that she had tucked away because she was a good saver. And she came to me and said, Kevin, I've done some research and I'm going to be paying 70% tax on my RSPs.
70%?
70. And I sat and I thought, I know the tax brackets. And in her income, she's in the 20% tax bracket. So there's no way it's 70. So she sent me some information on the Guaranteed Income Supplement clawback. And it's something I'd just never come across before. Never came up in any of my financial planning courses, never in any discussions with accountants on the Estate Planning Council. So I did some research into it and found that she was actually right. She was not right in the term tax because it wasn't actually a tax, but it is a clawback. And effectively, the way it works is if you are a single person and you're 65 years and older and qualify for your old age security, the Guaranteed Income Supplement is something you get if you're $18,216 per year of income, not including your old age security. So that includes your CPP, any company pensions, any RSP or RIF income, any interest income, rent income, anything that qualifies as taxable income. Now, $18,216 isn't a lot of money for some people, but for this particular lady, I think she was around the $5,000 or $6,000 a year from CPP. And that's it. The old age security she was getting but didn't count against her. So when she was turning 71, she realized she had to turn her RSP into a RIF and start taking the income. Now, she had been a diligent saver over the years, was very good with her money, and this disturbed her a lot. And I realized she is right. If you actually go onto the CRA website and Google or search the Guaranteed Income Supplement Calculator, it will show you that if you had zero pension income, I think the maximum you could get as a single person is about $897.42 a month, which $897, that's $10,000 a year.
That's a lot
of money.
Yes.
If you have zero income from other sources. And for her, she did have some income from Canada Pension Plan. Nothing she can do about that now. So that would be reduced by 50%. So if she's making $5,000 a year, the $10,000 a year would have gotten from Guaranteed Income Supplement would have been reduced by $2,500. Fair enough, nothing she can do about that. The big kicker, though, was every dollar she took out of her RSP or RIF, which is a registered retirement income fund that an RSP turns into down the road, every dollar she took from there would literally have a 50% clawback on her Guaranteed Income Supplement. And the frustrating thing about that is, She had a neighbor who was in the exact same position that had not saved that $70,000. That's about how much she had, was about $70,000 in her RSPs. They would get the full amount, and she doesn't because she was a good saver. The more frustrating thing that I found is she could have avoided it. So one of the things to consider, and her amount was a reasonable amount, guaranteed income supplement starts at 65. The year they start counting this, the income for guaranteed income supplement, is the year you turn 64. So if she would have, before she was 64, drained her RSPs, 20, 22, maybe even 28% tax bracket, she could have gotten it all out, paid her tax early, which a lot of people don't like doing. But the consequence was, by her not doing that, if she'd have continued just taking out $5,000 or $10,000 a year for the next 10, 15, 20 years, she would have literally lost half of that RSP to a clawback. But by doing it early, or doing it in 1 year, so once you're beyond the $18,000, there's no more clawback because it's all gone. She ended up taking it all out in 1 year, pushing herself into a bit of a higher tax bracket. I think she ended up touching into the, you know, 28, 30, 32 tax bracket. But that was better than the 70% that she would have paid long term. So there are several things you can do. One is, if you can think way ahead, if you're not working or have a low income between 55 and 64, that's a good time to start draining your RSPs if it's a reasonable amount. Unfortunately, you get the scenarios where you'll have, you know, good pensions, good income, a bunch of things that are coming in that you can't. There's just no way you can get below that $18,000. Unfortunately, it's only there for low income people. Some people have too much money in their RSPs. If you have $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 in, even if you don't have many other pensions, it's probably going to be very difficult for you to get it out in a timely manner and still be able to get that guaranteed income supplement. But it's worth doing the math. It's a significant amount of money that you could save if you do it. But unfortunately, a lot of people just don't even know it exists.
I imagine that we have quite a number of listeners scratching their heads right now thinking, who is this heretic Deb has on her show? Because draining RSPs, of course, is contravening every piece of financial wisdom that we have heard as Canadians for the past 25 years. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that you're not ignorant of that fact, but we pretty quickly ran through that that description of this lady and the situation. Essentially, what you're saying is that the government has pensions in place for people who are low income. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people who have put money away diligently, who perhaps even have gone without during their working years to get money into the RSPs, they're not eligible for pensions that are specifically available for folks with low income. Now, there's sort of the pro and the con that we could look at that. Mm-hmm. And yet, when we enter those senior years, money that's available to us from the government, we definitely want to be taking full advantage of the benefits that we have paid into with our income tax for many, many years as the solid tax base, particularly baby boomer generation. That has been our solid tax base for many, many years.
That's right.
So I guess the best thing for individuals to do who are scratching their heads at this rather unconventional wisdom, best to make an appointment with their financial advisor and go over the details of that, because there are so many variables in this, in people's situations, even in that lady situation that you described, so many variables that would need to have a very clear understanding before someone went and withdrew entirely their RSPs.
Absolutely. And what I would say is, myself included, several years ago before I found this out, a lot of financial advisors don't know about it. I've honestly asked dozens and dozens of professionals, both on the financial advising side, the accounting, and even on the legal side, and I've never came across anyone else that has actually done any planning on this, that has thought that it's an important thing to do. And so your financial advisor may not be familiar with it. The best thing I could suggest is Googling it yourself or researching it yourself and bringing your research to your advisor.
Excellent.
Just in case they don't know or don't understand it or don't have the time for it. There's a lot to know in the professional fields, and a one niche area may not be something a person's familiar with or want to do a lot of research on. So my emphasis to anyone is, you may have the best financial advisor in the world and maybe the nicest person in the world, but you have more concern about your own financial situation than anyone else has. They've typically got hundreds of clients, and they're doing the best that they can for those clients, but you have a vested interest in your One Life more than anyone does. So you doing that research is far more valuable.
I appreciate you adding that, because bringing that research and bringing that information that we can find online, that we can find on Canada Revenue, and we bring it to our financial advisor, that actually may help more of their clients to bring their awareness
Absolutely.
Into the picture.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Yep. And there's more details to it as well. I won't get into them now, but for couples and for people who have one person who's over the age 65 and one under, there's several versions of the pension, including the allowance. So go into the CRA website. It's a great resource, and look at all the different pension options and see which ones you will and won't qualify for. It's a great resource to have.
So are there any other important steps that you can recommend that consumers should be taking in preparation for retirement? We only have a couple minutes left here. So any highlights, any high points you'd like to bring awareness to our listeners?
I think the two things that I would quickly point out, one is education. The more you understand, the better. And again, there's lots of great resources out there from advisors, whether it's accountants, financial planners, anyone. The challenge with it is, again, they will cover certain areas that may not be the specific areas for you, or they may not hit on things that you have an opportunity for, but your involvement in it will bring your success level up. The more you understand about it, the better off you are able to catch something that they might miss. If you're seeing them an hour or two or 3 hours a year, that's not nearly as much time as you can spend on your own. So that's the first thing that I would say. Second thing I would say is, when you're heading into retirement, the income side is only half the equation. Yes, you want to have good pensions. Yes, you want to have good savings that'll give you more income. But that only helps you if you know what you need to live on. And if your expenses are too high or you don't know what they are, that can be very unnerving. So spend some time getting to know what your expenses are, reducing them if you can, paying off your debts, paying off your mortgage before you hit retirement. Those things are hugely beneficial. And making sure that the income that you have coming in, you know what it is, and making sure that you can live on it. That's the simple factor of it.
A lot of individuals that I've spoken with over the past number of years who are entering retirement are nervous because they're entering retirement with an awful lot of debt. And of course, servicing debt can be very costly. I think your idea of cashing in RRSPs prior to retirement could maybe take care of some of those debt issues. Obviously, we don't want to have a complete focus if debt could be paid off by perhaps selling assets that the debt's attached to or whatnot. But the idea of entering into retirement fully prepared, eyes wide open, having as the least amount of debt possible, and also having the maximum benefit from our government pensions, mm-hmm. having that all in play, I think would give people entering retirement a lot more confidence. Most people I talk to, they're very used to their 9-to-5 work schedule. Mm-hmm. They've been doing that for years. That's pretty solid. Entering retirement it's a whole new frontier for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Kevin, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciated the information. I hope you're able to come back and we can talk a little bit more. To my listeners, thank you for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.